Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'ul Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bam, and online we have is Mulana Muhammad Ali from Middleburg. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana, how are you today?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. How's things going on in Middleburg?
Middleburg, Allah shukr, lovely weather today. Yes, some good rain yesterday also. Allah Ta'ala bring rain to all the parts of the world and break that out, inshallah.
Amen. Well, we can carry on with the program.
Jazakum Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Fala wa rabbika la yu'minuna hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara baynahum. ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi Awalidah Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah ta'ala to continue showering His blessings upon us and to continuously keep us aware and conscious of these blessings so that we may acknowledge them and we may continue making shukr for it. And we beg Allah Ta'ala not to deny us and deprive us of any of His blessings on account of our heedlessness, our disobedience and our ungratefulness from time to time. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Alhamdulillah, from among the greatest blessings that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has bestowed upon us is that He has granted us Iman and He has made us in the Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There can be no greater blessing than this, that we are in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Rabiul Akhir. The previous month was the month of Rabiul Awal. And alhamdulillah, we know that that was the month in which Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And his birth coming onto the face of this earth has been a boon and a blessing and the greatest favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He Himself says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that Allah ta'ala has favored the believers, that إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ, that He has sent a prophet to them, مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ, from among themselves. So it is the greatest blessing that we are in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are not Rabiul Awal Muslims. We are ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Muharram to Muharram, from day to night and night to day, from every minute and every hour and every waking and sleeping moment. We are ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are in the ittiba, in the following and in the adherence to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way of life, and Allah ta'ala keep it that way. So we do not have a moment of a little bit of discussion and then forget about it till next year. No, we talk about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time, and when we're not talking about him, we are sending durood upon him. When we are doing that, we are also practicing other sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our life is a constant blessing in this way, that we are in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which can only lead us to salvation. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the beautiful names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And towards the end of last year, we completed, or we were busy with the second last series in the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the name of Al-Hakim. And Al-Hakim, that means the one who issues judgment and rulings and verdicts in various cases and issues that are brought before him. And this post of being a judge and an arbitrator has been conferred upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah ta'ala. Not only honored him through that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that afforded the ummah to have an example to follow when they themselves are going to be faced with various issues, various disputes, which are normal amongst human beings, and how to solve the dispute. All we need to do is, we just turn to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we find an example there. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. No one can do anything if he is a believer in an ummati on his own volition or on his own opinion, where he feels, I want to do it my way. There's no my way. It is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything about the Sharia, everything about the Deenul Islam is prescribed to us through the Quran and through the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, everything that we do according to how he said it. If he did not say us to do it in a certain way, then we don't do it. We do not fabricate from our own side. We don't have to fabricate. Because Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, I have completed and perfected for you your deen. So when it is perfect, then there is no room for anyone else to come and add his own little 5 cents worth of opinion. It is no longer deen. It is somebody else's opinion. It is somebody else's fabrication and distortion. And the deen of Islam rejects anything that is brought in there in the same way that the sea rejects any trash that is thrown in there. It is thrown out. And that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected this deen and maintained it and kept it in its pristine purity until this day. And so it will be till the day of Qiyamah. And the same rule applies in all the judgments that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had issued. So it makes it very easy that when people have any difficulty, they merely go to those whom Allah has imbued with knowledge and with insight into the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fuqaha and the a'imma and mujtahideen, the a'imma, the jurists, and they have then further clarified and simplified and codified the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And any matter that is brought there, alhamdulillah, it is then sorted out and a perfect and a beautiful ruling is given based on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we said we are not going to go into the deeper, as we say, masail, and to the deeper rulings. We are just looking, having a cursory glance of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issued verdicts on various matters so that we can recognize this aspect of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which aspect? The judge, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the perfect judge, the ideal judge, and the one who was most fair in all matters, and who gave the perfect teachings in relation to issuing of judgments, listening and hearing cases, and meeting out justice in the most perfect way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. We discussed rulings on various matters, and today inshallah we will be continuing. And inshallah this will be the last in this particular series. This series will be the last in this name. Allah give us tawfiq. Next week we'll start with another name inshallah. And as we always remind ourselves that if we take one name, we can go on and on and on, because there is so much to speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful seerah that it's an unending ocean. It's an ocean without a shore. Subhanallah. But we have to stop somewhere because we need to move on. And it gives us an idea and it gives us direction. And most importantly, it gives us a sense of honor and pride to be ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah. No other ummah has got that honor and that kind of example which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with. Uswatun hasana, Allah ta'ala says, for you in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect example. So we continue and we look at some of the other teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in as far as issuing of verdicts is concerned. We're just going to take a few headings and a few topics, and we'll just take out one hadith or one incident from there, and we will have a look at it. It gives us an idea that there was no scenario that has been left out, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for all of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. And if any scenario comes about, it will be exactly like that one, or even if it's not exact, a previous scenario that was played out in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give us direction and example how to base our verdicts in this day and age. And for that we thank Allah Ta'ala for giving us the fuqaha and the a'imma and mujtahideen. So, when we look at the issue with regard to business dealings, many times when people are involved in interacting with each other, concluding transactions, there is a possibility sometimes that one party wrongfully takes the profits, or another party is wronged because of injustice or because of greed or just because of ignorance. We take one example. When it comes to business dealings, we find that it is mentioned that Makhlad ibn Khufaf says, I bought a slave and I told the slave to go and work and earn something for me. So we know more into slavery at this point in time. So just to understand that a slave used to be owned by the master, and whatever skill or talent the slave possessed, or if he was qualified in any profession, then he used to go and work, and whatever he earns, he brings it, and then that earnings becomes the property of the master. That's how it used to work in those days. So he says, I bought the slave and I went, told him to go and work. But after a while, I realized that this slave here has got a certain defect. So I took this matter to Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, we know the great Khalifa of the Ummah, who is known as Umar Thani. So Makhlad says, I took this matter to Umar bin Abdul Aziz, and I said to him that I bought the slave from a certain person, but there is a defect in him. So he says, Umar bin Abdul Aziz gave the following ruling. It had two issues to it. And one is, he said that I must return the slave to the person who sold him to me, to the seller. Give him back, because he's got a defect. But at the same time, he says, while I'm off the burner, I'll get my money back for the slave. The money which the slave had earned for me, also, I must return it. So I was a bit perturbed that while the slave was in my possession, I benefited from him, from his profession. So while I'm returning him, why should I return the profits earned through the work the slave had done? So I went to Urwa and informed him. And Urwa says that, don't worry, I will go and see Umar bin Abdul Aziz and I will tell him what was the ruling of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. I must remember Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi was a great alim of, also of his time. There's no doubt about that. Because from a very young age, his mother had sent him to go and stay in the company of the ulama of Medina. And he grew up amongst them. And he was a great alim amongst the people of Medina. But despite all of that, he says that I had to go and tell Umar bin Abdul Aziz that, you know what, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha told me that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given a judgment in a matter similar to this one here. And in that matter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the Prophet will go to the one who had borne the responsibility of the slave. So in other words, while the slave was with me, he was my responsibility. While he was working, then whatever he earned comes to me because I was responsible for him. So Urwa says, I went to Umar bin Abdul Aziz and I explained to him that this is what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had said. So, mashallah, because this matter was taken there, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh reversed the judgment. And he says, okay, in this case, since we have an example of a similar matter by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had ruled in his lifetime in a matter like this, that the Prophet will go to the person who takes responsibility, and therefore Makhlad says, I took responsibility, the Prophet so then returned to me. So you see, that is very, very important here for us to look at, that how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's verdict and ruling in his lifetime in a matter like this served as an example for people who came later on. And if we have to look at our entire justice system, in whichever field it might be, we will find some or other ruling given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was al-hakim at that time, who was the arbitrator and the judge and the magistrate, and who gave rulings to the people in their disputes, which now, alhamdulillah, serve as a template for us or as an example for us to follow. Subhanallah. Likewise, there are a lot of other issues. So this was a business dealing. And you can see the Prophet went in the wrong place, but it was now restored. And this is so important for us to keep in mind, that when we are involved in business transactions, and when there is any doubtful transaction where certain money is not known to be ours or not, we have a doubt. And immediately we resort to the rulings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard, because nobody wants to have his rozi, his livelihood, his rizq to be blemished and tainted with any kind of doubtful or worse than that haram income. So there's another beautiful saying mentioned in Tirmidhi, also based on a business transaction. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when two people are arranging a business transaction, and two people who are arranging a business transaction, they are in the process of transacting, and then they reach some kind of a disagreement. The decision of this particular business transaction finally will go to the seller, but the buyer has a right to choose whether he will confirm this or not. So in other words, if they are transacting and somewhere along the line they come to a point where they can't agree, so who has the final say? The final say on that matter will go to the seller, but after that, at this point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given a principle. And what is the principle? The buyer can say, okay, we close the deal, I'm not interested. I agree to whatever you have finally decided. So this is a principle that was taught to us by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is found in Tirmidhi Sharif. And in another version of the same hadith, it is said, when two people who are arranging a business transaction reach a point of disagreement, and the commodity being present, if the commodity is present there at the time, and neither of them are able to prove his case, then at the time the decision will go to the seller. So the commodity is there and they have reached some kind of a dispute and they can't reach an agreement, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, the final decision will be with the seller. And if they can't reach an agreement and they can't prove their case, or at that point in time they must disclose that entire business deal, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have the right to reject it. You know, rather we disclose the deal. Why that is important is because if the deal is carried out in a manner that someone is wronged and someone else receives money that is not his, then that is going to taint his livelihood, and tainted livelihood, that is haram livelihood, has got serious, serious repercussions on a person's amal, on his iman, on the consequences of his affairs further down the line. We go on to another scenario. This was with regard to business dealings. When it comes to the payment of debts, we know that is a major issue also in our society today, and there are great amount of rulings found in the books. We are just going to take one or two examples. Again, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had issued verdicts and rulings in this particular regard. So we know, for example, there is one ayat in the Quran with regard to the inheritance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if the deceased had made any execution regarding, regarding the execution of any debts, then we must keep in mind that when will this will be paid? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةِ يُسِبِهَا أُذِينَ. So if the deceased has made a will for anything else to be paid out as a bequest, when will this bequest be fulfilled? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that this particular bequest will be paid out only after the debts of the deceased have been paid. So we find that in the will, the deceased has stipulated that I bequest that this amount of money be given to a certain charity. But we also find that the deceased is owing other people money. So in similar cases, used to be brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it was said that the deceased had said, a certain relative, for example, must be given a portion of an orchard, or must be given a certain property. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, is there any debt on this person? Is he owing anybody any money? They said, yes, he's owing somebody money. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should say that that debt takes precedence over the bequest of charity that has been made by the deceased. Very clearly mentioned here by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is one of the rulings that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given in that regard. So we can see again when it comes to death, it's an important thing, and we know that when a person who is in debt has to leave this world, until and unless his debts are not paid, it is a burden that keeps him down, that prevents him from moving forward. Now we come to another issue, also another example we are just taking. It is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the mother of Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away while he was out. He was on journey, he was absent. When he came back, Sa'd ibn Ubadah came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, "Oh Rasulullah, my mother passed away while I was out of town, I was absent. So will there be any benefit if I give her any charity on her behalf? Can I give any charity?" And this is so important, to benefit the deceased after they leave this world. And mashallah, we know last week we had Operation Hydrate. There's so many people said we are giving water and we're making near the sawab must go to our deceased. Sometimes people put musallas in a masjid and they say this musallas are being placed in a masjid for the sawab of our deceased relatives. So this is proven from the hadith. So can you do a thing like that? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a ruling that yes, you can give charity on behalf of your mother. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala and says, "Oh Rasulullah, I therefore make you a witness that I give my garden called Al-Makhraf in charity on her behalf." So he gave that away. And however, the clauses were drawn up regarding who should manage and so forth were brought up. There's another beautiful hadith that follows. It is very, very beneficial also. Also a ruling given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just before I explain the hadith, we know that in this day and age, there are, alhamdulillah, a lot of organizations that are actually promoting the institution of waqf. And amongst our people, alhamdulillah, in South Africa, we have Awqaf South Africa. And that is a beautiful institution where you make an endowment. In other words, you give charity in a manner that is not consumed once and done, but it is given on a sustained basis. It is a very beautiful thing to do. And we should ask the ulama and contact this particular organization when it comes to making endowments and making works of properties that we have got or things and assets we have got, that after our demise, the benefit of those assets and properties continue for the benefit of humanity and whatever else it might be. Now look at the hadith in that regard. That is just an intro. It is narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his father Umar radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that I have got a property called Samar. And he says, "Oh Rasulullah, I have a property which has got date palms on it, and I wish that this particular property, which I prize very, very highly, it is my pride. I really got, you know, it's a beautiful property. I want to give it in charity." So Umar radiallahu anhu came with a beautiful property with date palms on it, and he wanted to give it away in charity, and he gave it to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he made mushara with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the example, or gave him the rule and the direction to follow here. And this again is beautiful for us to understand how he gave a verdict in the ruling here. He says, "Give it in charity as an endowment with its land and trees, on condition that the land and the trees will neither be sold, nor given as a present, nor bequeathed, and that the fruits are given in charity." In other words, subhanAllah, you see, if he just gave the thing away as charity, tomorrow people could have destroyed the property or the trees or whatever else on it, and they might use it for something else, or they might sell it out and they might use it for another purpose. And this sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a most beautiful directive and ruling here. He says, "Give this thing in charity with certain conditions, that the orchard will not be destroyed. The land and the trees will remain like that. No one has a right to sell it off or to bequeath it or to do anything, but it must be left like that, and as the fruit come on, these must be given on as charity." Now this is such a beautiful way. This is called waqf. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala did that according to this ruling given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave it in charity. It was in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said the charity from this year must be used in the path of Allah. It must be used for the emancipation of slaves. In other words, you take the fruit from here and you can sell it and use the money to free slaves and for the poor and for the guests and for travelers and for kinsmen. And it's an ongoing thing. So in other words, it was not just left like that and afterwards somebody must do whatever they want to know. He put into place such rules and he put into place such clauses that this charity can sustain people for a long time to come. It's a sustainable or a sustained charity as opposed to what you call the consumed charity once over and done with and finished. You know, the person has eaten and forgot about. No, that is the reward for that also. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also specified that the person who is going to act as administrator, the one who is going to be looking after this property, he will have the permission to eat from it reasonably and fairly. In other words, because he's looking after it, he got a share. Reasonably and fairly, not he continues to eat everything up himself. No, little he can take for himself. And he can also let a friend eat from there, provided he had no intention of becoming wealthy by its means. In other words, you do not use this property as its administrator to enrich yourself. No, you're looking after it. And if here and there you need to also enjoy a little bit, it's not a problem. But the principal object and purpose of this particular endowment charity is that people must benefit from it. So subhanAllah, what a beautiful ruling given here by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this way we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave other rulings also which we are going to not go into the details because of this can be a very, very long series and also there are a lot of masail that we can go to the ulama to find that the deeper masail in this regard we find that when it comes to the death of the deceased, rulings were given there also by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person passed away, there were those creditors who came and they demanded, they say, bring our money. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave rulings and he helped people to pay off, thereby indicating that when it comes to the haq and the right of the creditors, then the deceased must be eased of this particular burden ASAP quickly, in the manner that he does not get stuck in his qabr and he does not have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and worse, he does not have to pay with his deeds later on in the akhirah. So we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave rulings in that regard, which can be found in the books of fiqh, alhamdulillah. Then obviously when it comes to matters relating to marital issues, where different issues arise on a daily basis, and if we have to open the books of fiqh, we find that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave various rulings on matters relating to divorce, on nikah, even on women acquiring a divorce when sometimes the husband is being spiteful and does not want to give the divorce, because you know the right of divorce is vested with a man. But there are rulings given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where a woman also has a right to seek divorce, and the people need to know about it, because when they don't know about it, and sometimes you find the kuffar and they go in the media and discuss it and they make a big ugly mess about it, whereas they don't know the full story, where a woman can also seek divorce. Also with matters relating to accusation of adultery by one of the partners against the other, where we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave rulings also in that matter. And these are issues that keep on coming up on a regular basis. So Al-Hakim, that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of ours, who was not only a Nabi, but he came and he addressed every matter, including the matter of giving judgment and issuing verdicts and rulings in various fields and in the various matters that affected the Ummah. InshaAllah, we shall continue. May Allah give us tawfiq wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah Maulana for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the Asma'un Nabi program with Maulana Muhammad Ali. From myself, Muhammad Bam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.